They're good?
Okay.
So anyway, it's pretty loud up here. Matt asked me earlier if I had a PowerPoint presentation, and I told him I didn't. Gary asked me if I was going to use a blackboard. No, I'm not going to use a blackboard. Last time I was up here, 15 or 20 years ago, we were using an overhead projector with transparencies. So my PowerPoint presentation is right there. It will be difficult for you to see that. I'm not going to use my Bible a lot because I've got the verses right here in front of me. But I promise you, when I read them, I'm not making them up. They're verses. And you can, I'm going to give you the verses and you can follow. Or you can just listen. Connie, who is my biggest supporter ever, on the way home from church this morning, I was looking for some of that encouragement. And she said, don't worry about it. She said, nobody's going to be listening anyway. So, thank you. But no, she is a great wife, a great woman. Have you ever been in the grocery store and seen women with women, not just friends? You ever seen men with men, not just friends? Homosexuality is rampant in this country. It used to be shameful, but it's not shameful anymore to them. It's shameful to us. You've been in the grocery store and have you seen immodestly dressed young ladies that looked like their pants were spray painted on? They had to put slits in them to show you a little bit more skin. Do everything in the world to try to draw your attention to them and think, how in the world can a mother or father let their daughter go out dressed like that? And then you go to the next aisle, and she's with her mother, and her mother is dressed the same way. Been in the grocery store and listened to foul language, to people using God's name in a way that's inappropriate. Been in the grocery store, and dad's got cases of beer in his buggy with two or three children that he's toting along behind him. Or gone through the checkout of the grocery store and the magazines are either covered up because of the filth that's in them, or the ones that you can see sex and words, you know, about cheating and immodesty. We get it all right there in the grocery store. If you turn on the television and watch the news, which is all that we watch anymore because there's nothing really other than Connie's sewing channels and cooking channels and such as that, there's really nothing worth looking at anymore. But just on the news, everything is, not everything, but so much of the news is pro-abortion. And now there's new words being, phrases being come up with that don't say abortion, things like reproductive freedom. Because even the people promoting abortion think that abortion has a negative connotation, the news is full of hate talk. The state of California recently mandated a law mandating that abortion pills be available on every public university campus at no cost to the students. I hate to admit this, but I was in Alta not too long ago, hopefully picking up something for Connie. And I was going through the checkout, and this creature comes up behind me. And it's a man with a man's face, man hands, man feet, dressed up very nice, very feminine. I don't know if it was a man trying to be a woman or a woman trying to be a man. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, this kind of trash is everywhere around us. Can all this be real? Is this the world that we're really living in? All of us, parents and children and grandparents. So the message tonight is about worldliness. We may not be infected with worldliness, but we are all affected by worldliness. We can't get away from it. Definition I found concerning worldliness is devoted to, directed toward, or connected with the affairs and interests or pleasures of this world, rather than devoted to a spiritual life. Interest or pleasures of this world rather than devoted to a spiritual life. Who is concerned about this situation? Who should be concerned about this situation? And to whom does it apply? I mean, in this audience right here, we have people in their 80s and 70s and 60s. We got people in their 40s and 50s and 20s and 40s. And then we have the young people. And I really appreciate the Sims ladies being here and the Bruce ladies being here. Some of the most vulnerable people to the worldliness that we are exposed to. We are never not affected by worldliness. But being like the world is not a new concept. Being devoted to pleasures rather than a spiritual life is not a new concept. Some verses I've got here that in from the Bible, Bible verses that use the words worldly or world or pleasures. You can find in Jude 18. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. In Titus 3, in verse 3, For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Timothy 3, 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We've been warned over and over about this. The warnings have existed since the first century and before. But we also have verses that tell us that we can overcome these things, that we do not have to be infected ourselves. Look at Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So we've already talked about some things you can find in the grocery store and on TV, and at Alta, certainly on Facebook. Don't really want to go there. But I do a little bit because, I mean, people put some pictures on Facebook that are just raunchy. I mean, I think you call it profiles, but they put the most sensual pictures on in their profile that they can. Doesn't even really look like them. And then even take pictures of their children wearing clothes that they shouldn't be wearing and put them on Facebook. But other than that, what, and I've already mentioned some of these, but what does worldliness really look like to us? What does it look like to us? What do we see? We see the homosexuality, which even that, I don't think that word gets used a lot. You know, now it's the LGBT. Abortion, we already talked about. And that's reproductive freedom. Immodesty, lust, the speech we use, or hear, not that we use, hopefully, lying, laziness, improper use of the internet, materialism, covetousness, alcohol, and drugs. That's what it looks like. Worldliness is kind of an easy thing to say, but really what does it look like? And what it looks like is really ugly. We've got to look at it every day. And there's a price to pay for these things. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's the price that people are going to pay. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They are going to go to hell. Good news for those people, and we all know some. The good news is in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Connie and I talk a lot about this. Because, you know, those people then and now do have an opportunity to turn things around. Do we all know that Satan seeks to destroy us? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you might as well plug in there, destroy, in the word devour. It means the same thing. Seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to destroy our lives, our goals for sensing godly significance, our personal closeness with God, and every other relationship that matters. Satan wants to destroy it. Satan does not do it all at one time. He uses camouflage to disguise himself as something else. The movement toward destruction is progressive, and it's usually from one tiny step to the next in increments that we don't even notice, or that some people don't even notice. How does he do it? I think one of the primary tools that Satan has are the lies the lies that he tells us. Starting in Genesis, the third chapter, in verses 2 through 5. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Biggest lie ever. More lies in John, the 8th chapter, in verse 44. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Satan uses lies against us all the time. Tells us things that we want to hear. Tickles our ears. Doing anything to destroy us. Doing anything to separate us from God. And again, doing everything to destroy every relationship that matters to us. Husbands and wives and parents and children, and I mean, every relationship that matters, especially our relationship with God, is what Satan's out there trying to destroy, and he is a liar. And I'm sure that you've got some real life experiences and stories. I shouldn't say stories, experiences in your life that demonstrate that the devil walks around being deceptive and charming and a liar. And I'm going to tell you, Connie, I'm going to tell you our personal story. And those of you that have known us for a long time, and I'm also saying this to the younger people, because older folks, what's an older folk? I don't know. But the young people that are so innocent are so susceptible, not that they're guaranteed to give in, but they just haven't seen the parts of this awful world that they can fall into. They're vulnerable. They're innocent. So my story kind of goes along with, it does go along with that. Y'all, we have two children. Our son is Rich, whatever he goes by now. He's 44 years old, and our daughter is 42, Wendy. Both of them were raised pretty much right there on the second or third pew behind Tommy Porch and his family. But our daughter was raised in this church building, went to these classes, hung around, for the most part, Christian friends. She went to good schools. She went to St. James. She was homeschooled the last year or year and a half, the last 2 years of her education. Because get this, she thought that things at St. James were going downhill and didn't want to be a part of that. So Connie homeschooled her. And after that, she went to Florida College. And she met a guy that wanted to be a preacher. And as a matter of fact, he came to work, quote unquote, he came to work here as a preacher trainee. Now, what better picture can you paint than that? For raising a child, good people around her, a great education, goes to Florida College, Mary's a guy that wants to be a preacher. It didn't last very long. They had two children, our grandchildren, and then they got divorced. Okay. This is all happening. It doesn't just happen overnight. It starts somewhere along the line. And it starts with lies and deception and worldliness. And it's destructive. So they were divorced. One or both of them were unfaithful. Who knows? Our daughter gets custody of the children. And before, I don't even keep up with the time. She marries another guy that's not a Christian. And keep in mind that she's got custody of the children. And so as Wendy's going off in a really bad direction, the children are being dragged along with her. And maybe I'm tying that back to, like, children. At the time, they're affected, but they're not infected. But over a period of time, they can become infected by parents and different things. So, Winnie marries the second guy, and that doesn't work out. And then she has a really good girlfriend that is nothing but that, just a girlfriend, but they sleep in the same bed. Now go figure that out. And that comes apart, and then she marries another guy, you know, and that didn't last very long. And now she's married to a woman. So you got this ideal life going along, and then, bam, it's just like out of control. And the children are being drugged through the muck right along with her. And at this point, she believes that homosexuality, that kind of relationship, is okay with God. And that she's okay with God. How does it happen? It can't happen without the devil. And it can't happen without listening to the devil's lies. So, are we defenseless? Was my daughter defenseless? Am I defenseless? Are we defenseless? No, we're not defenseless. We simply make choices. We make choices whether we're going to be in the world or of the world. God provides y'all familiar with this? God provides a way out in those situations. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The best defense that we have against Satan is the truth. And you may want to turn here because it's a fairly lengthy reading. Again, most of you are all familiar with Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I guess you could put in there, stand against worldliness. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We can avoid being worldly. We can avoid the lies of Satan. We can keep Satan from destroying our lives. And, you know, the Ingrams are not here. The McDaniels are not here. The Sims are here. Not to be calling out names, but one thought that I had was, within this group of people, within this building, there are families. You know, there's the 80s and the 60-year-olds and the 50s and 40s and so on. There's generations of families right here that go through the cycle. You can go from the top down or the bottom up, but I mean, you go through the cycle of youth all the way to when you're older. You go through the cycle of being a child and answering to your parents, and your parents answer their parents. Or you can be an old person, like Jess Hart back there is an old person. And he's got children. And his children have children. And children's children. So you never, ever get away from the worldliness situation that we're faced with. Either Craig is facing it in some way, or his daughters are facing it in some way. And his mother is watching Craig to see how Craig handles it. We have to live in this world, and it's not pretty, but we don't have to be of this world. How can we help ourselves? How can we protect ourselves? Matthew 6:21, I know it's talking about material things, but it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I don't think it's a stretch to say that where our minds are is where our treasure is. Colossians, the third chapter, and verse 3, or Colossians 3, 1 and 2. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth." How much better would we all be in the world out there, faced with what we're faced with, if our minds are always set on heaven, like Ron talked about this morning, if our minds are always set on those things above. And to wrap it up, I like to carry little notes in my pocket. I need reminders. Ron carries cards around with memory verses on, and I do too when I don't lose them, and then I miss them. But I write things down like, make good choices. And that applies to all ages. Another note is, we are what we think about. Our ability to rejoice depends on the quality of our thoughts. Quality of our thoughts. Our minds take us to the destinations where we want to be. That's it. We live in a difficult world. Satan's after us. Use the defenses that God has given to us. Children, watch out for your parents. Parents, watch out for your children. Grandparents, look out for everybody. Let's just not be infected by the world, no matter what we see out there. As far as an invitation, I just picked out a couple of verses. Matthew 11. Wrong chapter. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're subject to God's invitation in any way, we'd ask that you come forward as we stand and sing this song.